Rabbi Liebtag, Labor Day, 2013.
Okay. The goal of the shiur today is what I'd like to call going from Kavana to Havana. I'll explain the words. When you daven with Kavana, it means you're davening with... You can't translate that word, can you? With focus. But you're, as opposed to, Kavana as opposed to your mind wandering. What Rabbi Mital, somebody used to say, if you want to know what's really on your mind, like in general in life, ask yourself, what were you thinking about during Shmoneh Esrei? And it's one of the truest things. Now, Kavana means I'm having a mind to daven as opposed to different thoughts. Havana means understanding what you're davening. And usually they have nothing to do with each other, to the point that some people hold, if you have too much Havana, it'll take away from your Kavana. And it might be true, we'll see. Now, what I want to do today, because it's Slichot and it's the season, I want to do a couple examples from Slichot to appreciate what we say and why we say it. The main topic will be what's called Shomea Tefillah, it's a pismon. And I want to give one little analogy in the beginning, because what we might do in the beginning sounds a little boring, but if you've ever been to an art museum, which I doubt it unless you were in school and had to, okay? So most people in art museum, you know, they see a couple of pictures, and the main thing to worry, where's the coffee shop? Where's the gift shop? Where's the, when is it over? But you might pass by a group of people there that are staring at the same picture for 20 minutes. You ever see them? Mm-hmm. What are they up to? How come it takes them so long? Because when they look at a painting, they have an assumption that the artist, who drew it, wasn't just drawing something, he was trying to give over a message. Or they're appreciating his art or what he was doing. They appreciate what the painting is about, and therefore they study it and they learn something from it. We're going to do something very similar to certain things we say in Tehillim. Just for a start, just for the fun of it, how do we start Slichot? What do we do first? Ashrei. Anyone ever wonder why we start with Ashrei? Give me the classic halachic reason. Okay. No, the main thing you need to do is say Kaddish, because this can't say Kaddish. Get home. That's supposed to be a pun. You just can't say Kaddish alone by itself. You have to say a parak of Tehillim beforehand. Why Ashrei? It works for Mincha. Why can't it work for dinner? I think the Rebbe has to think it's a type of tefillah service. Then the big question, why we do Kaddish Tidkaba afterwards, which is usually only after Shmoneh Esrei. So Slichot considered like Shmoneh Esrei, we'll talk about. What I want to suggest is there's something thematically connected between Ashrei, what we call Ashrei, which Tanakh calls, what parak are we reading? We're reading Kuf Mem Hei Tehillah LaDavid. There's a thematic connection between Slichot and Ashrei. We'll see why. Just to make sure we're on the same page, what is the main focus of Slichot? What's the main thing we're doing? In case you didn't catch on, what's the central point of Slichot? It's your Gimel Midot. It's reciting your Gimel Midot based on the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, which we'll talk about later. The main thing we're doing is we're reciting your Gimel Midot. But you just can't say them over and over again. What do you have to do first? You have to say a pizmon. You have to say some type of poem that leads up to it. Ashkenazic tradition has great pizmonim, which are difficult to understand, but they're beautiful if you appreciate them, unless Ebenezer wasn't so crazy about them, about the Hebrew and about the wording. But that's our Ashkenazic tradition, at least. If you ever saw Sephardi Slichot, they're totally different, much more understandable. But what we do, we say different pizmonim in order to say your Gimel Midot. We're going to talk about the pregame show beforehand. But just remember, the main thing we're doing is saying your Gimel Midot, and because we have this promise of Rabbi Yochanan, which we'll talk about later, that he said, God told Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave over the Gimel Midot, he made a promise, whenever Am Yisrael is in trouble, just say these what I call magic words, and God will forgive you. Which sounds rather strange, we'll try to understand that today as well. Now, let's take Ashrei for a minute, or what we call Tehillah LaDavid. Is Tehillah LaDavid, is that prayer or praise? It's a really hard question. Tehillah LaDavid, is that prayer or praise? What? Why would you say it's praise? Because what's the word Tehillah mean? Praise. Because if it was Tehillah, it would be Tehillah LaDavid. And all Kuf Mem Hei to the end, what we call Pesukei Dezimra, is entirely praise. I'll give you an example. And not prayer. There's one pasuk there that might sound a little different. Does this pasuk ring a bell? Yimloch Hashem le'olam el'haich tzion, v'dor v'dor hallelujah? Where's that from? It's the last line of Kuf Mem Vav. Is that prayer or praise? Is that a prayer or is that praise? Are we asking God to be king? Or are we saying that he's always king? Are we praising and saying he's always the king, he's the eternal king? Or are we asking him to become king? Now, there's something else we do which is related. But when do we say besides there? Don't we say it in Kaddish? Remember in Kedusha? I'm sorry, in Kedusha? That's the last line of Kedusha. When we say it in Kedusha, is it praise or prayer? Okay, well, I'll give you another question. Just for the fun of it, look at your local siddur, how they translate it. When we daven Marvit night, Ashkenazi minhag, you see why Sfarim don't do this? What's the line before Mariv? No, the second bracha, Avat Olam. How do we end it? Remember Avat Olam? Va'avatcha. Yeah. Is that prayer or praise? Va'avatcha al tasur minenu lo lamin.
Prayer.
Was it our or lo? Va'avatcha al tasur minenu lo lamin. That's prayer, isn't it? Ask your Edot Mizrach friends. Anyone daven's normal? I mean, anyone daven's Edot Mizrach? What do they say? What? Va'avatcha lo tasur minenu lo lamin. They're making a statement. Because the original minhag is that we're not asking for prayer before Shema. We're making statements about our connection to God. But Ashkenazim can't get away with not putting a prayer in. Now go back it up to the previous bracha, to Mariv HaRavim. What do we say there? How do we end Mariv HaRavim? No, the one, back it up a bracha. Before Mariv HaRavim, how do we end it? How's it begin? What? Start. What's the first word? No. El Chai V'Kayav. El Chai V'Kayav. Or is it El Chai V'Kayav Tamid Yimloch Aleinu L'Olam Ba'ed? Where do you put the comma? You ever wonder? What? Do you say El Chai V'Kayam, comma, Yimloch Aleinu L'Olam Ba'ed? Or do you say El Chai V'Kayam Tamid, Yimloch Aleinu L'Olam Ba'ed? Listen to your local chazan. It's a machloket between all the translations. Compare Sack Sitter to... I'm giving you something to keep you busy during davening. But what I want to show you is no one ever thought about it, did you? You just read the words, because you daven with Kavana, not Havana. It's totally different things. But the pasuk El Chai V'Kayam Tamid, or El Chai V'Kayam Tamid Yimloch Aleinu L'Olam Ba'ed, is built on Yimloch Hashem Do'olam El Ha'etzion L'Dor V'Dor Hallelujah. Now, are we asking God for something that's always true? Or are we making a statement? If you ask God be king forever, it's mashma, maybe he's not now, or something. It's a big machloket. Like Or Chadash, that's a famous machloket. Do you say Or Chadash? That's a bakasha before Yotzer HaMorot. That's the Rishonim, what were they fighting about that? Even the Gaonim were fighting. You say Or Chadash Al Tzion Tayir. Minhag Ashkenaz is to say it. Minhag Sfarad is nothing. Okay, now we start this year. Listen carefully. I want to explain why we start with Ashrei. Ashrei is praising God. Agree? No. I want you to go through the Aleph. Aleph, you know, one at a time. And tell me, where do we actually praise God? The first pasuk, for example. Arumimcha. Is that a praise of God? Is Aleph a praise or not? What is it? We're making a statement of what I'm about to do. Okay. How about bet? Okay. Do it by yourself, and then raise your hand when you have an answer. I want you to find me. Where do I finally found out what's so great about him? Not that I need to praise him. Not that everyone's praising him. With what letter? With what pasuk? Do I find it? Don't say it. Don't say the answer. Just raise your hand if you think you found it. Just go through the, you know, by heart. If you want, you can look at Kuf Mem Hey. Where in what we call Ashrei do we finally talk about what's so great about God? You understand my question? Wait, don't answer it. Just raise your hand if you haven't. Hope you know the alphabet. We'll take votes in a minute. Or enough hands up. Okay. What letter? Just tell me what letter.
Okay.
What?
Bet.
Mem. Okay. Any other nominees?
Gimel.
Okay. Any other nominees? What? Chet. Okay. I got three. What did you say? You say Chet also. So let's start with Gimel. That was the first one. What's Gimel? Gadol Hashem u'mula ma'od. Okay. Do I know what's... I know he's great, but what's so great about him? I can say, what a great, great doctor. Oh, he's amazing, he's great. Everyone's talking about him. Do I know what's great about him? I'm just saying he's great. I don't know what's... I didn't describe his greatness yet. I'm just saying that he is great. But I don't know what's great about him.
You're saying he's so great that it's beyond...
But if you ask me what's great about him, I don't know yet. What?
It's not Sheva.
I didn't say it's not Sheva. I'm saying, but I still don't know what's great about him. I haven't talked about... I just know he's great, and I have to praise him, and everyone's doing it. I still don't know what's great about him yet. I don't have an attribute yet. You said Mem, but there's something before Mem. Yeah. What's that? Yeah. That's the first one. Where are those words coming from? Chanun v'rachum Hashem, erach hapayim v'rav chasid. Sound familiar? That's it, Gimel Midot. Then Tov Hashem. Understand what I'm getting at? There's something thematically... There's a thematic connection, a direct one, between Tehillah leDavid and Slichot. You couldn't pick a better parak to start from. Now, do we talk about anywhere we talk about Malkut Hashem? And that, I mean, the first line is in the introduction. Do any psukim in Ashrei talk about Hashem being Melech? Where's the first pasuk that talks about Hashem being Melech? Mem for sure, right? Malkut Chan, Malkut Kolamin. Any other one? Chav. How's Chav go? Kvod Malkut Hemero. What? We have Malchut. So that's we have Pasuk Chaf. Any other Pesukim? We said Mem. What? No, that's the introduction. With Lamed. What's Lamed? Lodia, Livne Adam Gvuroto, Ukhvod Adam Malchuto. Any other ones afterwards? I think that's it, isn't it? Those are the three. What letters are they again? Chaf, Lamed, Mem. Ah, but what's it? It should be a Chaf Sofi. What does Chaf Lamed Mem spell?
Melo.
Smack in the middle? No. Now we talk about his Malchut in the beginning. Do we continue to describe about how great he is or not? What's the next time we talk about how great he is? Oh, we don't know what Nun was talking about because we left it out.
Samach,
okay. I wonder why Nun's missing. What's Samach? Somech Hashem l'chol noflin, v'sokef l'chol kfufin. Now, how is that different? I mean, that's great about him, but that's a different type of description of someone great. How about the next one? Somech Hashem l'chol noflin, v'sokef... What's the next one? Everyone's looking forward to him. Why? Because he gives out the food. And does the next one fall right in? Potech et yedech matbir l'chol charatzon. Got that? And then Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav. The rest is beautiful praise, but listen how we praise him. How do we know that God is potech et yadav? How do we know that God opens his hands and feeds everybody? Do you remember the minhag why we say Ashrei three times a day? The minhag of saying Ashrei three times a day is very similar to Gimel Midot. It's called Easy Pass. Who knows the Gemara? Is it Shabbat or in Brachot? Is it Brachot or in Shabbat? Yeah, at the beginning. Whoever says, if you say Tehillah leDavid three times a day, Muftach lo sheben olam haba. Remember that? That's number one. And when you say Gimel Midot, Muftach lo that he'll be forgiven. Now, I call them easy pass. Why is it an easy pass? Because instead of doing tshuva and being a good Jew and thinking everything right, I can just say these magic words three times a day and I get right in. Or I can do the hard way. So most people prefer doing it the easy way. Right? And then they can do whatever. You follow what I mean? No. What are Chazal saying? That phrase, potech et yadecha, in describing God that way, where's that coming from? If you don't know its source, you can't appreciate what's going on in Tehillah leDavid. Because Tehillim is a pirush on Chumash. But that's it, not pirush, it's an app of Chumash. Where's that phrase coming from? Potech et yadecha masbir l'chol charatzon. Where did Tehillim get it from? Where in Chumash we have the exact same phrase? Potech et yadecha. Almost the exact same phrase. You read it? Yeah. Aser taser. If you have your chumash with you, or open up Sefer Devarim Perek Tetvav. I'm sure you remember this. There's this economic law in Sefer Devarim about our economic system that every 7 years the economy goes bankrupt. Instead of waiting every 50, 100 years or so, like our economies do, we preempt it and we annul all debts. Everyone goes bankrupt. Not bankrupt. Everyone. All debts. Is that the word bankrupt? All debts are annulled every 7 years. What do we call that? Shemitah Ksafim. It's Perek Tetvav in Sefer Devarim. I think it starts with Pasuk Zayin. But because of that law, I'm sorry, in the beginning, Mikate Sevenim Tesesh Shemitah. But because of that law, Chumash is worried that that law might have the opposite effect. Because if all debts are annulled every 7 years, what might somebody do? Why would you lend money? Because it's a bad debt. And it might be counterproductive. There was some left-wing rabbi way back. What do you call it? I forgot what yeshiva he studied at. You remember what he did, that left-wing rabbi? What was that? They changed. The Chumash says this, and he changed it because he went by what was the underlying meaning of it. So, unfortunately, we don't have rabbis like Hillel today. But that was the whole Din of Prusbo we're familiar with because he went by what was the original meaning of it. Now, but Chumash also tried to deal with it with in an educational manner, not in a halachic manner. How do they do it? What did they tell you here? Because the seventh year is coming, what do you need to do? I might think I'm going to hold back. What's Chumash say to do? What's it say in Pasuk Ket? Don't hold yourself back. Open your hand to the poor. And in the summary of the, and then maybe you'll have a bad thought, the Bar Bilal say, you know, it's too close to Shemitah. God says, don't blame it on the poor person. He says, there'll always be poor people. That pasuk was never proven wrong. There'll always be poor people. What's the last line? Therefore, I'm commanding you, twice. In the key book of Chumash, of Sefer Devarim, of the laws of society, we have to do what? We have to open up our hands. If that's such a central idea and theme in Sefer Devarim, don't be surprised that Tehillim describes God as what? As doing the same thing. But why do we have to describe God as Somech Noflim and Rofei Cholim and Matir Asurim and Potech Et Yadecha? We're not just praising how great God is. We're reminding ourselves of our very relationship with God. And to prove it, I'll show you one more pasuk in Devarim as long as you're there. Open up Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin. It's the source of the first line of Shemoneh Esrei. Remember? If you have your Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Who's going to read it for me? Someone with a loud voice. Where's my chazan? Right. Yeah, read out loud. Keshem? No, Tem, no. No, you're in Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud. Yeah. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Still there? Key, something? Yeah, read. Isn't that praise of God? We continue to praise God. Continue. Moshe's talking. Moshe Rabbeinu, keep going. That's what God does. God takes care of the poor, feeds the hungry, and he loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Look at the next line, which is a contradiction. First it says that God loves the stranger and takes care of him, and then it says we're commanded to take care of the stranger, and that's why God took you out of Egypt. Don't you realize it's not relationship, it's partnership? How does God take care of the stranger? If I take it literally, the first line, if I see someone in trouble or need, and I help him, that's a lack of bitachon. Because the pasuk says God takes care of the needy. Why should I take care of him? Don't I have bitachon that God will? But that's how does God take care of the stranger? Through us. And that juxtaposition of psukim is the whole point. What's called imitato deo in Latin, what's chazal called valachta bidrachav, or mesilat yesharim, or any book on Mukhtar. That understanding that when you see something unjust or something bothers you about society, instead of sitting back and complaining about God, what kind of lousy creation did you do, seeing that that's your tafkid to make it better, that's the key theme in Chumash. Now, therefore, when we describe God as being potech et yadav, and we describe God as somech nofim, zokeh kufim, another example, in Tehillim Kuf Mem Vav, we talk about God as oseh shemayim va'aretz, shmei shemayim, doesn't he? Remember Kufman Bav? Then we continue to describe God. Besides being the creator and so great, what else does God do? What you mean? Kufman Bav, you said that this morning. What? Oseh? He does Shemesh Piyah. Go back it up. Where's the good stuff start? First, we talk about how great he is. He made the Shemaim, Shmei Shemaim, Ba'at V'Chasher Bam. What? Okay, and to continue. Notain, Redeem. What else does he do? Shem Shomer Gerim. Last line, Yatom Ba'mana Yo'odei. He encourages the Yatom and Amana. Why are we describing God that way? Because that's what we need to do. Don't you understand? When we're praising God, it's not only praising God to know how great He is. Part of Sukkot Zimra and part of praising God is to remember how great we need to be, or how godly we need to be. And if you do it right, who becomes king? What's the last line there? Yeah, no, if we emulate God, of what? Yatam v'yamnon v'yodeid, v'derech Hashem yaved, then yimloch Hashem me'olam, v'hayatzim v'dor v'dor hallelujah. That's how we bring Malchut Hashem, not just by talking, but by how we act. And that's why our praise of God is not just the classic Shevach praising before Hodayah. When it's understood and internalized, it's a way of life. Now, that was just an example from Ashrei, how it relates to Tehillim. Right, now we'll get to the more boring part. Then we say Chatzi Kaddish. I'm speaking things in Chumash, the idea of Shem Hashem, making a name for God, which is the central. I'll give you one more example. Kaddish. Is it praise or prayer? Kaddish is what we all say. I'm talking about Chatzi Kaddish, the first half. Is it praise or prayer? Let's take a vote. Who says praise? Half of you. Who says prayer? The other half. Less than half. Yeah. How come over half said praise? Why do most of you say praise? Yeah? Yeah. Is that the praise of God? Is that a prayer? When we say Gadavi Kadash Merabah, are we making a statement or are we making a request? Or are we stating our hope? We're requesting that what? That God's reputation should become great. Now, what makes God's reputation great? People praise Him and act properly. You follow? Now, we're hoping that God's praise and reputation, we're hoping that God, it's a prayer for praise. We're praying that our praise will be efficient. I call it a mission statement. That's why it's so central to davening. Because we're hoping that God's praise that we do all through davening, that it'll work. In this world and the world to come. And what's everyone answer? Well, we would say right on, or Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach. To the point that Chazal say, if you say that with the right intention, not just Kavana, but Havana. Now, when Chazal says someone who internalizes that message, he's a Ben Olam Haba. Do you understand what that means? It means, if that's your way of life, if you see yourself in partnership with God, and when you see something wrong, you realize it's your job to make it better. And you see that, not just to get reward, but because that's why, I think somewhere it says, I think there's a matter somewhere, that God made man in His image, like a mirror image of God. Where does it say that? In Bereshit. But the mirror image is even better. Remember? Shofech dam adam v'adam. The first chiasm. Shofech dam adam v'damo adam yishofech. Isn't that a classic mirror? That's a chiasm. Finish the pasuk for me. Ki b'tzelem asata adam. I think the chiasm there is a type of a mirror image in itself. Have you ever seen a nice mirror-like kind of thing? We see the same thing up and down? But that, the rest is ask your local Kabbalist. Where they go to Tzfat one time and learn. The idea that there's something godly about every human being, you might... There's Hanasham Malach, Falkuf Shalach. I think that's also in... Is that the same type of concept? That in if every human being has a guf and neshama. Now, you have a guf and neshama. The guf you can see. The neshama you can perceive. Pretty sure. You can't isolate the neshama from the guf. You can only perceive the neshama through a guf. Take the same analogy to God and His creation. You can't see God, but you know, how do we perceive God? Through His creation. So in the same way we perceive the neshama through a guf, we perceive God through His creation. Even though they're separate, but when we say Hashem's Kadosh, I think that's the point. He's totally separate from His creation, and He created. Therefore, the way we connect to God is through our neshama. but through perception of His creation, we build our neshama, the connection to God. Now, and therefore, Kaddish is not just, you know, something to begin Slichot with, but something very basic. It's our mission statement. Okay. Then we should get into Slichot. But someone way back composed a beautiful poem, and to this day I can't find who the author is. I asked all my buddies in Yeshiva and everyone in the library, and all the academic editions. Sometime in the time of the Gonim, which is where, someone composed Shomei Tefillah. Now there's a good reason, that's the page I gave you. See it, the Shomei Tefillah? There's a good reason this doesn't have an author. How come there's no author to this? Because it's plagiarizing. Because every line in this poem is what? It's a conglomerate, or I called, if it was Chumash, I called it a mosaic. We're picking Sukkim from all over Tanakh. Now, most of them we choose from Tanakh. I mean, from Tehillim. A couple from Chumash, a couple from Navin. But they're all Psukim. And what's common to all these Psukim? Want to take a wild guess? Are they prayer or praise? We're about to ask God for rachamim. Are we going to start with prayer or praise? Praise. Because what's the klal? What's the strategy of prayer? Remember? First shevach, before bakasha. That's strategy. If you have a rich uncle, and you need to start a company, and you need your rich uncle to help you out in business, you don't go and ask for money. What do you do first? First you talk about, you read his op-ed and how much you liked it. You said, I remember the kids, they're doing so nicely. And you talk about how nice he is, how good he is and all. You love the house he built, you follow? So first you say nice things about him, and then you ask for money. It works for, and sometimes maybe it doesn't work. That's called Chadar Chosho Olam. We do Shevach before Bakasha. My claim was, our Shevach of God is not just because of the Bakasha. The Shevach in itself has intrinsic value. There's intrinsic value in praising God even if you're not asking for something. Because your praise of God helps you remember who God is and your relationship with God. That's why Pesukei Zimra can stand alone. I think even, if I'm not mistaken, don't we have different obligations every day? A Jew is obligated to praise God every day. He's obligated to say Shema every day. He's obligated to daven every day. The right to the Rabbanan, you can argue, follow. But what order do we do it in? You have to say Brachot every day, don't you? In what order do you fulfill these obligations? Is there a guide for that? What? Where do we have a guide that organizes for us how we organize our obligations, what we do in what order? What do we call that? In English, it's called a prayer book. In Hebrew, why is it called a Sidur? Because it's organizing our obligations. But they're separate obligations. We're not just obligated to pray. We're obligated to praise. We're obligated to say the Kabel Malchut Shamayim. Now, let's get to Shomei Tefillah. There's a whole set of psukim of praise. And what I did on the page here, I want to show you the logic of how they're organized. The first section is coming, a whole collection of psukim of coming to bow down to God. Does that make sense to start with that? Because what are we doing? We're coming to bow down before God. To bow to pray to Him in His temple. Or the mikdash, the shul is a mikdash ma'at. And therefore we have lots of psukim that relate to that theme of coming to bow down before God. Okay. Now that we come down to His house to pray before Him, we start praising. And what's our praise all about? How great He is. See the word Gadol all the way through? There's the theme. I've highlighted the word Gadol. You can... How many times is Gadol there? Oh my gosh. Almost every line. You see it? After the opening two lines? Gadol has... Every line has Gadol in it. Did you ever notice that when you davened? So there's repetitive themes inside. After the... We talk about how great He is. What's the next step? What? See all the lachaz? They have a whole list of lachaz. What's yours? And what you are? There's lacha, 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 na ta, ta, ta. And then we end with the prayer that, what do you call it? That we're coming to help you. And then we give the most logical, like I think, humble approach is, listen, I'm going to pray to you and ask a lot of things. And I know we don't deserve anything, but do it for whose sake? No, after Shamalach. Atanu al shimcha, Hashem asay l'man shmecha. Bavur kvod shimcha, The main strategy in davening all the time is, we might not be deserving of anything because we're lousy workers, but if you punish us as a people and we're associated with being the people of God, if God's people are punished and aren't not successful, God looks bad. So we know we're bad, but give us another chance because you don't gain anything by punishing us because it makes you look bad. You know, we deserve to be punished, but what are you going to gain by it? Who was the first one to use a condition like? Moshe Rabbeinu. That saves us from, what was that? I think Chet HaEgel, I think the same idea, the Lama Yomru Mitzrayim. Yeshua uses the same thing after the battle of the Ayin, Mataseh Shimchan Gadol. Now, so first of all, that's simply understanding what we're doing. It's praise, but if you want to appreciate, that's, I'm comparing it to looking at a painting. If I want to appreciate what I'm reading, that's just reading Psukim. I want to appreciate what I'm talking about and the order, that's fine. But on the side there, I put a list of all the Prakim they're coming from. This is very technical, but I think it's meaningful. And if you notice on the side, I'm quoting with Prakim and Tehillim they're from. Almost all of them are from Tehillim. But there's one parrot that wins hands down. You like statistics, like Torah tidbits. You don't get that here, do you? Yeah. So, and what they do is they do statistics on Chumash. If you do the statistics of this composition, which we don't know who wrote it, at least I don't know who wrote it, but who composed it, who put it together, one parak stands out above all the others. That's Tehillim 89, Peitet. Okay, it gets, I think it's told off here. And look in source B. I have a, what's it called? An outline of all the topics here. We have the overall structure. We have Ashrei, Chatzi Kaddish, then Shema Koleinu, and then Vidui. And then, I just try to put an overall structure of Slichot, which you should be familiar with. But in part B, we're going to focus on Shema Tefillah. I put here a composite instead of a mosaic. Okay, they're mostly from Tehillim, but chapter 89 is out of proportion, quoted more than anything else. The first parak of Kabbalat Shabbat has a lot as well. Ayin Dalet, if we have time, we'll look at also. And then every other one, a line here, a line there. For some reason, what parak is that again? Ayin Tet is lopsided. Not Ayin Tet, Peitet. Peitet is lopsided. Which, my assumption is, if there's so many psukim from Peitet, that's intentional. Is that a scientific conclusion? If I study something and I see something, a non-statistical variance, I have various psukim from all over the place. Most parakim didn't get one pasuk or two, and one parak gets eight or nine. I mean, like, there's something out of proportion here. The question is, that by chance or is it intentional? Now, it could be by chance, but it might be intentional. And if it's intentional, I have to have a reason for it. What I want to do now is we're going to take a look at Tehillim Ayin Tet, Peitet 89. Which is the back page. And I want to try and understand why the composer of Shomei Tefillah might have gone out of his way to use specifically this parak. In other words, we're doing Shevach before Bakasha. But our main Bakasha is Yud Gimel Midot. Agreed? What are we asking God to do in Yud Gimel Midot? We're asking God to remember. El Horeit Elan Lamar Shosh Esrei. How's it go? Utscholan Hayom. Preach Shosh Esrei. We want God to remember His covenant. What covenant is Brit Shloshes Esrei? Brit Milah Shloshes Esrei? What breed is the 13?
Forgiveness.
But what breed are we talking about? Which one?
Brit Avot.
Brit Avot is Brit Shloshes Esrei? That was Ishmael who was 13 when he... Yeah, if you say Brit Shloshes Esrei, it's Brit Milah, that's Ishmael, isn't it? How old was Ishmael when he had Brit Milah? I'm joking, but... It could be. That's good. But when we say pshat, what's Brit Shloshes Esrei? What? Which? It's spelled on the Dalet, isn't it?
Yes.
It's what we call Gimel Midot of Rachamim. And it's based on Rabbi Yochanan's statement, which we'll get to soon, about God promises, always say these magic words and I'll forgive you. God is sitting at B'Kisei Din. I'm sorry. We hope he's not. God has two thrones. He has a choice.
This is a normal for all. Don't wonder about it.
No, President. Don't most shuls have... I'm sorry, but I was supposed to drink in here. Don't most shuls have two seats on top? Two seats up front? One for the President? No, drink it. One for the President, one for the... we're fine. So, God has two thrones. He has a choice of sitting on the throne of mercy or the throne of judgment. What do we want Him to do? Take that seat. Because if He takes that seat, we're in trouble. That's a basic prayer. We're asking God to sit, you think? And when you review our actions, how do you treat them? Nadir Rishon Rishon. We're not talking about driving stick. No one knows that from Hebrew. No one knows what I'm talking about, do you? When you change gear, it's called changing from gear. In Hebrew, it's called Nadir Rishon. But we're not talking about God driving a car. What are we talking about? When God reviews our actions, treat every offense like it's a first-time offense. Because if you're a judge and you have to sit in somebody, If it's a first time offense, okay. If it's the same thing over and over again, that's a spoiled kid. And why should I forgive him? Because he didn't learn his lesson. So we're asking God to take each offense one at a time. And then we go on and then we say, El, you instructed us, right, to say these 13 midot. And remember today the brit you made. The main part of slichot is asking God to remember his brit, to be forgiven. But before we make a request, what do we do first? We do praise. So it's called shedach before bakasha. Now, I want to show you why specifically this chapter was chosen for shedach before bakasha. I'll spill the beans now. It's not just shedach before bakasha. It's shedach for sure. It's not any particular shedach. It's a parrot that talks about, it's a prayer, this chapter, where we're asking God to remember a covenant. But what covenant is about? In addition to God's covenant with the Jewish people, God made a later covenant with a family. What family was that? Remember King David? He makes it to Shmuel Nesser. God made a promise. It's in the book of Shmuel. Aleph or Bet? Shmuel. Aleph and Bet. Shmuel Bet. Doesn't God talk to Perek Vav? Perek Dalet? No. Wait, play back. When did God promise David he's going to become king forever? Is that when he's anointed, or is that later on? You remember? It's okay. It's not important for now. We'll get to it soon. You know what Pesukim I'm talking about? When God picks David, he tells him, it's in Perek Zayin. Shmuel ben Perek Zayin, when he wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. It's Mikdash related. God picked David to become king over Shaul. But David has what to worry about, because God picked Shaul officially, and what happened? Shaul lost it. There's a book about it called Sefer Shmuel. David is chosen to become king, but unlike Shaul, what does God promise? Your choice is forever. My relationship with you will be different. And therefore, God makes an eternal breed with the house of David. He'll always become king. What's the next line, though? Because you're eternally chosen, I'm going to be more strict with you than anybody. And therefore, if you mess up, I'm going to punish you right away. If you remember, in Shmuel Bet. Now, what's the logic behind it? There's a price you pay for an eternal covenant. If you're chosen to work for God, because you have this protection that you can't lose your job, we call it a Catholic marriage, because of that, you're held more responsible. And if I can't fire you, I have to punish you as soon as you start messing up. And therefore, the house of David is treated more harshly for bad deeds than anybody than a regular kingdom. We have something very similar with the Jewish people, in case you ever noticed, if you read the Tochacha. We're chosen forever to be God's people. But because of that, God treats us more harshly than that other nation. That's exactly Midat Adin. There's logic to Midat Adin. Because you're chosen as my eternal partner, and I have high expectations from you, and because I promised I can't get rid of you, remember, we call that, that's also a Catholic marriage. And that's an argument with Christianity. They hold, the Catholics hold that we have a Protestant marriage. And we hold that God's, and the rest is, you understand what the analogy I'm using? That's our academic machloket with how to read the Bible, or how to understand, how to interpret it. We, ever since the Akedah, remember? All the parshim on the Akedah, binishvati nu Hashem, when God makes a shua with the Avot, after the Akedah, it's irreversible. Look in the Radak, I think the Rabban also talks about it there. I think we read on Rosh Hashanah for some reason. Now, if that's the case, God's brit with David is like his brit with the Jewish people. It's irreversible, unbreakable. On the other hand, it's very exacting. You make a bad move, you're going to be punished right away. Over the course of history, the house of David got into trouble and was punished. But God promised, you're always chosen. After a while, they realized, hey, we're not coming back. There's a parak in Tehillim, okay, where the house of David is begging God, remember your covenant. Got it? Now, we don't have to read the whole thing. You can do that for homework. I just quoted here the key points. And look at all the psukim we're going to find. Maskil Leitan Ezrachi on the back page. Maskil Leitan Ezrachi, which means, that's the opening line, Maskil Leitan Ezrachi. Who's Leitan Ezrachi? That's a big machloket. What? Well, in fact, when you read the parak, it can't be. You understand why? Why would Avraham Avinu be talking about Malchut David? Now, in Drash, it's right on the mark. If you understand what Malchut David's about. Because Malchut David was chosen to do Tzedek HaMishpat, and Avraham was chosen to do Tzedek HaMishpat. So thematically, the Drash is right on the mark. Historically, impossible. So if you just look at historically, right, you'll laugh at a midrash like that. If you only look at the midrash, you won't understand the history. If you want to appreciate when Chazal says something like that, you have to understand pshat, when it's written, what time period it's from. And then, through the midrash, you understand how deep the parak is because they're thematically connected. Now, back to the opening line. What's the opening line? Chazdei Hashem Olam Ashira, the Dovador Odi Emunah Tavafi. How does he begin? You don't start and complain right away. He's going to always going to complain later on. But before he complains, we praise. I'm saying, I'm about to praise you. I'm going to talk about your emunah and your chesed, etc. Okay? Chesed you created everything, you set the heavens and everything. Pasuk Dalet. Karati brit libchiri. Nishbati ledavid avdi. Who's he talking about? We make our opening statement, God made a brit with David, his chosen one. To do what? Ad olam achin zarecha, ubaniti lador v'dor kisach hasela. I promise that the kingdom will always be with you. And your throne will be the eternal throne of the Jewish people. Okay? Okay? And then we begin praising. What's the first praise, Pasuk Vav? Yudu shemayim pilach Hashem afam l'chabikal kadoshim. Ring a bell? If you were davening this morning? Next one. Kimi v'shat garoch l'Hashem b'dmei l'Hashem b'dnei elin. Aunas v'shot kadoshim rabba nora kol sbeva v'Hashem alei tzvot mi'chamocha chasinya mutcha b'sivatecha atam v'shav v'yot hayam. Remember all those psukim? Echad echad. Don't we quote all of them? We're not just randomly quote. In Shomei Tefillah, they're all over the place. They're not together. They're based on their context. But in the Perek and Tehillim, every single one of them we quote. Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yudim we don't quote, which that's why I skipped them here. For homework, I want you to figure out why we don't quote those three. There's something about them, there's good reason, but that's for homework. And the last time we quote from the Shabbach is, Serek Mishpat Mechon Kisecha, Chesed V'met Yitabu Panecha. Now you understand the Midrash? Where's the phrase Serek Mishpat coming from? Everyone should know that. Where's the first time we have Tzedek Mishpat in Chumash? The Pasuk, I call it Chai Chai. It's 18:18 in Bereshit, where God says, can I hide from Abram that I'm about to do the stone? And Abram was chosen. But God's about to punish a nation because there's no one setting an example there. No one to learn from. Therefore, God has to destroy stone for its bad behavior. And then it says, what happens next? It says, but Abram's destined to become this great nation. Abram, that goes back to Lech Lecha. Abram is destined to become a nation serving God, and God chose him to become this nation. Well, why? Ki yedativ, I came to know him. The man asher tzaved banav beito acharav v'shamu derech Hashem lasot tzedakah mishpat. I chose him to begin this nation with a family tradition of teaching one generation to the next the ways of God, and the ways of God are doing. It's called lalechet bedrachav. Is defined here. Darchei Hashem is doing tzedakah mishpat in order that the goal for Abram Levinu be fulfilled. Now, if you have a Tanakh open, look in Shmuel Bet Perachet, Pasuk Tetvav. You don't have, I'll read it for you if you want. Shmuel Bet Perachet, Pasuk Tetvav. Just someone look to make sure I'm not making it up. It's a summary Pasuk about the kingdom of David, of Malchut David. And what does it say there? Shmuel Bet Perachet, Pasuk Tetvav. Shmuel Bet. It says, Vayiluch David, I'll call Yisrael. Finish by? It's clearly a summary pasuk at the end. What does it say next? Vayita biroseh, mishpat ustakal v'chol amon. If that wasn't enough, as long as you have your tilim open, look at tilim ayin bet, is it? It's David's, it's the Shlomo. It's the last one of the third book. Tilim ayin bet. Did I get that right or not? The Shlomo, which is not by Shlomo, but to Shlomo. His hope that the kingdom that goes from David to Shlomo will be typified and characterized by tzedek u'mishpat. And therefore, the last line of praise here is, going back now to Tilim Ayin Chet, tzedek u'mishpat mechon kisecha chesed v'emet kal pupanecha. And therefore, don't be surprised that Chazal attribute this parak to who? Even though it says Eitan Ezrachi, Tavram Avinu. I want you to appreciate Drash. And when you, not taking that drash literally, right, and calling someone a kofar for that is pointless. That's my point I'm trying to make. If you want to appreciate drash, you have to understand historically when it's written, and then try to understand what's the insight that Chazal adding by attributing to something earlier, like Abram and the idols with Gidon. It's that midrash is so deep and beautiful if you understand it as midrash, and that's why it's called midrash. Now, look at the next set of psukim, which we move from praise to something else. It's a different type of praise. Who are we praising now? First we praise God. Who are we praising now? Pasuk, and now we're back in the back page. Tilim I'm Peter. Does Pasuk Tetzayin look familiar?
Yes.
It's a different ashray. Okay? How come it's so familiar? You never saw it in Tilim before, did you? Okay. Before or after? It's right after, remember? It's over. You think you can talk, but you can't talk, remember? Okay. The pressure's down, but oops. Ashrei ha'am yodei Torah. Who are we praising now? We're praising ourselves, because what are we doing? In our service of God. How about the next one? We're still kidding. B'shimcha yigid v'kal hayom. Now you understand why we quote them after shofar blowing? We're praising ourselves. What did we just do? We just praise God through blowing shofar. We're talking about ourselves in a beautiful way. But we're about to daven Musaf also. Then he continues. B'shimcha then. Then you can read the rest and say, now I'm skipping towards the end. After all the Shevach, okay? Then he gives, the Shevach ends over here. The rest of the parak you can read on your own is all history. The history of how David was chosen and all the promises God made to David and what happened. And then towards the end he says, in Pasuk Mem Zayin, we finally get to the prayer. After all the praise and all the history, if you had time, just organize the structure to the parak. It's beautiful. There's Shevach, there's Patiach, there's an opener, there's Shevach, there's history, which leads to the Bakasha. What's the prayer at the end? Pasuk Mem Zayin. Ad Ma Hashem Tisater LeNetzach. And Ad Ma Hashem Tiba'er Kmo Ish Chamatecha. Tigbolet. Follow? What's he asking? How long are you going to continue your wrath, your anger? And how long are you going to hold it in for? How long are you going to continue to be angry with the house of David? Then what's he ask for? Nun? Ayecha Sadecha HaRishonim Adonai. Nishbata LeDavid BeMunotecha. Where's your promise? You promised to keep the brit. Where's your chesed? Chesed is often in Tanakh in the context of a brit. Maybe it's within the context of a brit, but giving a little extra. Like sort of one partner giving more to the partnership than the other. You see his request? Zuchor Hashem chepat avadecha. Seita b'chiki kol rabim v'amim. And he goes on, but that's towards the end. What do we see in Tilim? What, in essence, is Tilim Peitet? It's a bakasha. More than a bakasha. It's a request to God to keep his promise, keep his brit with the house of David. Before he makes the request, what does he do first? He makes a statement in the beginning, sets the parameters. He praises God. 10 psukim of praise. Then he gives the background, the case with the history of what happened to David and the promise. And then he makes his big bakasha. Look at what you did. Where's your promise? Yeah. Now, what are we doing? We're doing something very similar. We also ask God to remember a brit he made. It appears like he's not keeping it. Things are bad. And we're begging God, remember your brit, the brit shoshasa. But before we do that, someone composed a beautiful composite of psukim. But why specifically this parak? Because all these psukim are shevach for bakasha, a bakasha to remember a brit. And because the brit that we have with God is so similar and parallel to the brit of David with God, it's right on the mark. Now, if you want a nice parak in Yirmiyahu, I'll take your question again. What's the question? Why she's asking, look at in the end of Yirmiyahu Lamed Gimel. The end of Yirmiyahu Lamed Gimel. Yeah, question.
So did David write
it? No, I think it's later. That David didn't suffer so much. It's later generations when Malchut David's falling apart.
I thought David wrote all
of I don't think he wrote Maskil Leitana Zorokhi. No, it's attributed to David. There's Bnei Korach who wrote a lot, I think. There's Asaf. Yeah. The book of Tehillim is attributed to David. Why? The concept of Tehillim, the first Jewish leader to put the nation on the map, the first Jewish leader to take Israel out of trouble from the time of the Shoftim, the first Jewish leader to accomplish the biblical thing and goal of a nation representing God in the land, getting rid of idol worship, having a strong army, complete borders, wanting to build a mikdash for God. The first leader who's successful is David, with all of his problems that Shmuel talks about. Part of David's success as a leader was, not only was he a successful political leader, he was a successful leader, and there's a danger in a leader being successful than people put all their faith in the leader instead of God. He took every element of his success and he attributed it to God. And the book about that is Tehillim. Whenever David was in trouble, he turns to God. Whenever he's successful, he thanks God. And most of the Pekim and Tehillim offered by David reflect exactly that idea. David finds God in everything. As opposed to Shaul didn't attribute God to his success. But I need a leader who is successful, but in his success, instead of praising himself, he praises God. Because if I have a leader who's not successful, I don't have a country. If I have a leader who's successful but haughty, people put their faith in the leader. I need a leader who's successful and thanks God for success, which is the model of what every human being has to be. Shouldn't be a nobody. You should be a somebody who thinks he's a nobody. You should be successful and thank God for your success. Now, therefore, the Prakim, David is the first one to make it really happen. And he begins writing psalms. Dibrayon talks about it. And therefore, the book of Tehillim, the concept of Tehillim, is attributed to David. He starts it off and he does the majority of them. Later on, in the spirit of that theme, later Levim and later singers written more songs. But he's the one who started it off. And therefore, when you start something, okay, everything's attributed. You know how many Rav books were written by the Rav? But we attribute it to the Rav, don't we? Yeah, understand my point? You can begin something, and people continue your derech and follow your way, you're attributed to the same school of thought. So when Chazal say David wrote all Tehillim, they're not saying it historically, they're saying it thematically. Yeah. Got the idea? I'm pointing that because it's often misunderstood. Because when you take a very deep midrashic statement, which is oversimplified, and take it literally instead of seriously, you miss all the point. And then when you go study it critically, then now either you belittle your academic studies or you belittle the rabbis. I want to make sure I want you to appreciate both of them. Now back to Yirmiyahu Lamed Gimel. I want to show you this connection between David and Am Yisrael. Yirmiyahu Lamed Gimel at the end. It starts in Pasuk Chaf, Pasuk Yotet. The end of Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yotet. Pasuk Yudzayin is right there. This parak matches it. Parak Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yudzayin. Ki chol mar Hashem lo yikaret le David ish yoshev al kisei bit Yisrael. Lakonim lavim lo yikaret ish bil fenei ma'ale olam akir mincha. His promise to David is like his promise to the Kohanim. Vayidvar Yirmiyahu le'emor, Pasuk Chaf, kol mar Hashem im taferu et briti yo hayom et briti halayla v'yoti yomam halayla b'itam, gam briti tufar David avdi, miyot lo ben molech al kiso, v'talvim akodim mishadad. Just like God doesn't break his covenant with the sun and the moon, they're always there, that's nature. Just like his brit with nature doesn't change. Remember brit keshet? Nature will continue. Yom chorof v'layla, yom v'layla lo yishmotu. Just like that remains forever, God's brit, the brit hakeshet, which is eternal, in the same way his brit with David is eternal, and his brit with Kohanim is eternal. That's massive thought. You know, that's amazing. It's a massive statement, especially by Yirmiyahu before the Korban. And then Chav Gimel, he says the same thing. The two mishpachot here. Vayidvar Hashem Yirmiyahu halo rite ta'am hazeh dibru lemor shtei mishpachot asher bachar Hashem bahem vayimaseim v'tami yinatzu miyot od goyim lifnehem. These two families that God chose, the house of David and the people of Israel, it looks like, what did God do? He abandoned them. Mi'us. Muksa machmas mi'us? Mi'us? I can't translate that. Mi'us? He's disgusted with them, and it looks like he's left them. That's what Yirmiyahu is finding, because what's Yirmiyahu worried about after the Korban? That people will say, it's over. The old breed is over, maybe there's a new breed. The whole religion started with that idea. Yirmiyahu is saying, no, it's a Catholic marriage, and you're going to rehab. It's not game over, you're going to rehab. It's a key point in Yirmiyahu. The Christians don't quote this one. Quote the other one. They like Yishayahu better. But Yirmiyahu is making the key point at the time of the Korban, that even though statistics look like it's over, and God's brit with is over, his brit with Am Yisrael isn't over, his brit with Shemayim Ba'aretz isn't over, and his brit with David isn't over. And even though we're going to rehab, we're going to Galut, it's going to be rehab and we're coming back. And when it's a long time, a Mizmor Tehillim says, where are you? Got the idea? Now, why do we do all that? I want to show you, I want you to appreciate the psukim that we're quoting from in where? In Shomei Tefillah. That was my key point. Just a couple of the quick examples, which are really neat. There's one pasuk we quote from Chumash. Anyone remember which one? You can look on the list if you don't remember. There's one pasuk on the list that comes from Chumash. Of Shevach. One Shevach in Chumash. What about God? Actually, it's a half a pasuk. Which one is it? Which one is it? What page is it? First page towards the end. Does it ring a bell? Asher miyah b'shamayim v'aretz asher yasech masechet v'gigurotecha. How do we know it's from Chumash? It says so on the right, from Devarim 24. Okay? Who knows where it's from? What pasuk? What parsha is it? Which, luckily, it's a Rishon, so we know by heart. Remember? Betchanan al Hashem b'teni limor. What's going on there? Who's praying? What's Moshe's bakasha? Yeah. How's it go in Hebrew? Where does bakasha begin? Ebrana. Ve'eret eretz ha'tova asher be'efer. Den ha'artof zav al-hanon. Remember Ebrana, and God says, Vayitaber? That's like really neat wordplay. But Moshe didn't say Ebrana right away. What'd he say first? Hashem Elokim, atachilot alorot et abdachat, yadcha chazaka. Continue. Asher mi'el v'ashamayim v'aretz, asher yisach masachat v'gvorotecha. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's bakasha before, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu's shevach before bakasha. Make perfect sense? What are we quoting? Not just shevach, not just tam shevach. A shevach before bakasha, and a shevach before bakasha by no one else than Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the expert in tefillah. Now, what's so nice about it, I could have given but Moshe Rabbeinu's main bakasha, who got us to give me Dr. Rachamim? Moshe Rabbeinu. But who is he praying for? For us. What are we quoting? His shevach, what he's praying for himself. I want you to appreciate what they're quoting. All I'm trying to show you, no one wrote Shomei Tefillah. Someone organized it. And when we read it in Davening, we're just reading Psukim over the place and get to check it off. Or most usually, if you come late to Slichot, depends if you do early Slichot or late Slichot. But sometimes we never even get to that part. But I want you to appreciate, like again, that painting in the museum. If you understand where the Psukim were coming from, how to organize the order, what we choose to pick from, it's a tapestry. It's beautiful. And that was the goal I wanted to get across. I think my time is, I can continue, but I'll take a break, put it this way, because I know it's Erev Yontov and some people have a 3-day Yontov to prepare. That was the main point I wanted to get across about, there's more things I want to talk about the brief. There's one other thing, let me look at the outline, make sure I covered everything. Oh yeah, the other verses we took from are Kabbalah Shabbat. It has to do with Hayom Yimkalo Tishmau. They're all the psukim before Hayom Yimkalo Tishmau. Where's that coming from? Hayom Yimkalo Tishmau. Is that Har Sinai? I think. I'll give you an example. The psukim from Shofrot, where are they from? Most of the psukim from Shofrot in Musaf. From Matan Torah. No, the shofar of Matan Torah is what we're talking about. Because Matan Torah, I think it relates to I'll go back to Machiot. Machiot in general is not the fact that God is king. That's not the main thing we talk about in Machiot. In davening, it's not just recognition that God is king. The main thing we talk about is it's our job to serve Him. There's a difference between recognizing that there is a God and He's the only God, as opposed to the understanding that you're chosen to serve Him. Just look carefully at Rosh Hashanah davening. The main thing we talk about in Machiot is that God chose us to bring the concept of God to mankind. Where's the best place to find it? What's the Chatimah? The whole Machiot section, each section has a header and a concluder. The header to Shofrot is Atan Nigleite Banan Kvodecha, which is all about Har Sinai. The Chatimah is going to be Kotra, Abchab Rachamim, something like that. The Zichronot section begins with, surprise, surprise, Brit Keshet, Noah, to Brit Avot, to Brit Sinai, to Brit Yirmiyahu later on. We follow the thing, and Hashem is Zocher Abri. Okay. Now, how does Machiot begin? Machiot begins with, there's a poem, before we quote, for each one we have to quote 10 psukim, 3 Chumash, 3 Tehillim, and 3 Navi. And then one last one from Chumash. That's it's like a tic-tac-toe. Now, before we begin quoting the psukim, each section has a header, and a signature, and a chatimah. The header for Machiot is Aleinu. I'm sure you knew that, didn't you? That should be easy. Remember everyone growing up, there's a certain time early in your life when you're surprised what's Eleinu doing in Shmoneh Esrei? Everyone's shocked by that. Like probably maybe 8 or 9. You said, oh, what's Eleinu doing there? What's going on? You follow? And therefore, but the truth is, Eleinu was written for Rosh Hashanah davening, And it was never said at the end of davening, about, I think, 700-800 years ago or so. Mid-Rishonim time, the Minhag began to say it at the end of davening. I forget exactly when, but Aleinu and Musaf preceded Aleinu at the end of davening. Every couple hundred years, we add a little, the Siddur gets wider and wider, because we have more and more time to daven. Why did we do that? I was doing something. The ending is a shir. That's it. So, Aleinu begins it. Aleinu isn't the fact that God is king. What point are we making in Aleinu? It's our job to praise Him. We're not saying that He's the only God. We're saying it's our job, Aleinu, the Shabbat, Adon HaKol. And that's why He chose us over the others. His praises shouldn't touch mine. And what's our goal? Al-Kein L'Kav Alacha. V'chol B'nei Basar Yikruv B'Shmecha. Yakiv V'Koy Shvet. We're hoping that Ba'ar Kav Ya'an God's name, all mankind will recognize God. And my understanding is, believing in God in Chumash is something behavioral and not intellectual. I get in trouble for this, but I think. I can't even prove it. It's my gut feeling. My understanding is someone who believes in God behaves well. It has to do with the flood. If someone might intellectually believe in a God, but if his behavior isn't fitting to that, then I don't think he's defined as Yodea, as someone knowing God. But it was, to know God in the biblical sense, it's in Yirmiyahu. Remember? Remember Tisha B'Av, the story we read? How'd it go? Last line. Aitalev Hacham B'Chokmato, Aitalev Gibor B'Kuroto, Aitalev Hashem B'Shor, Kimzot, Aitalev Metalev Haskel, V'yado, to know God. Kani Hashem, Osem Mishpat B'Stakabar, V'Elech Hafat Sinum Hashem. According to Yirmiyahu, for sure, that I can prove. Knowing God, in the biblical sense, is acting with Tzedek HaMishpat, with Chesed Tzedek HaMishpat, which is a massive biblical theme. And therefore I think that our hope isn't that everyone knows God intellectually. It's an application of that knowledge which leads to behavior. So we finish that. And now in the Chatima, after we put all the Pesukim, how do we end? Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu. What's our hope? We're praying that our goal will be fulfilled. Melach HaKolam Kod B'Chvodech B'Chulei. V'yidah Kol Pul Ki Atah Pe'ato V'yavin Kol Yitzor Ki Atah Yitzato V'yomar Kol Asher Neshama B'Yapo Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. What's that mean? Hashem, who the Jewish people are talking about. We talk about God. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, who is He? He's the Melech U'Machuto B'Chol Mashallah. But we want all mankind to recognize that the God that we're talking about is the right God, which should lead to good behavior. Now, how does mankind recognize that? We have to talk about God, at least to ourselves. But the main way, the people talking about God have to act in a special way. And that's why we have 613 and they have 7. And then, how's that accomplished? Katshenu b'mitzvotecha v'tein chalkenu b'torotecha. And then the most important pasuk, according to Rav Amital, was now that we've taken upon ourselves to have to serve God, and we understand this, the problem is you might be working for something, you think you're doing a good job, you're phoning. And therefore, what do we ask God to do? V'tayar libeinu. Assuming we have to work for Him, and we know we have to work, it's very easy to think you're doing something good and really be phony without even realizing. That's already chassidus. But to serve God be'emet requires Torah leif. That's too much musar already. But I want you to appreciate what Rav Amital always quoted that pasuk. That was his most sung song. Anyway, everyone should have a shanat k'tiva v'chatima tova. And we shouldn't fulfill that pasuk of ki tavom lechamar v'artzechem al etzar tzorer v'tayam v'elpen. Our tshuat should be for a good year, not for a year of war. Hi, how you doing?
Great. Ariana Pinchot wanted me to tell you that she's in Chicago for the second time. Yeah.
So I met her grandparents. And she goes, she's your grandparents? Is it good? Or Ariana, or you know, Shapiro. What's the difference? Ariana. Yeah. You're Rami?
Hi.
From your sister. Is that the part that started?